Thank you, Rob. You know, this passage that we're looking at today starts off so incredibly well, doesn't it? Verse 30 says that even as Jesus spoke, many believed in him. And verses 31 and 32, to the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." It all sounds so good and wonderful, doesn't it? Many people coming to trust and follow Jesus in a groundswell of support. And Jesus telling them that his true disciples will know God's truth, the truth of the gospel and of salvation and of everlasting life. And he tells them that it's this truth that will release them from their bondage and that will finally set them free. Oh, what a glorious beginning. But did you notice the stark and the shocking contrast with what comes at the end? For the very last verse, verse 59 says, "At this they picked up stones to stone him. But Jesus hid himself, slipping away from the temple grounds." These so-called believers, so-called disciples, or at least many of them, were now picking up rocks to pelt, to kill, to eradicate Jesus Christ. And so we're compelled, aren't we, to ask ourselves, what on earth happened here? How can people go so quickly from faith to hate? How can people go so quickly from following Jesus to savagely wanting him out of their lives? Well, friends, let me tell you what happened. What happened is that Jesus dug beneath the surface. And as he dug beneath the surface, he revealed that everything was not as it had seemed. It's a little bit like when you're looking to buy a weatherboard house and the timber is gleaming with a brand new coat of paint. But on closer inspection, you discover that it's just covering up the rot and the decay. It's a bit like when you check out a second-hand car and the bodywork looks so shiny and fresh, but when you poke and when you prod, then you soon discover the corrosion and the rust. Many people were showing signs of faith. The potential was certainly there. It all looked so good. But as Jesus dug deeper, he discovered that all was not as it seemed. As he poked and as he prodded, he found the rust and the rot. You see that opening statement where it says, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples." Well, that might look rather innocuous, rather harmless, maybe even affirming. But my friends, that's why we shouldn't overlook that little word, if. Jesus says, if you hold to my teaching, if you abide and remain in my message, if you allow my gospel to actually transform your mind and your heart and your life, then and only then will you be my real, genuine disciples. Then and only then will you find the truth that can truly set you free. But as the passage continues, it soon becomes apparent that despite those early signs of faith and despite what they thought about themselves, true disciples they were not. You see, these Jews were of the firm conviction that they were already children of God. They were of the firm conviction that they knew the truth and that they were worthy of God's worthy recipients of God's blessing and his favor. They were of the firm conviction that they were completely in the Lord's good books and that they had nothing to fear in life or in death, and all because of their heritage. Verse 33, they said to Jesus, "We are Abraham's descendants." Verse 39, "Abraham is our father." Verse 41, we are not illegitimate children. These Jews, they rightly believed that they were the physical offspring of that man Abraham, whom God chose so long ago to be the father of his covenant people. They rightly believed that they were his physical descendants and heirs. But they'd also come to believe that this automatically made them his spiritual descendants and heirs. And that's why in verse 41 they said to Jesus, "The only father we have is God himself." They weren't only convinced that Abraham was their ancestral father, but that this made God their heavenly father as well. But Jesus cast serious doubt on this heritage. He knew they were of the Jewish line. He says as much in verse 37. "I know that you are Abraham's descendants," he says. But yet he cast doubt on their claim to be descendants of Abraham in faith. Listen to verse 39. "If you were Abraham's children," said Jesus, "then you would do what Abraham did." And verse 40, "Abraham did not do such things." Do you see what's going on? Jesus is saying, if Abraham truly is your father, as you claim, then you would be like him. There would be a strong family resemblance. You would be a chip off the old block. But tragically, Jesus says, that's not the case. It's not even close. But even more than that, Jesus says to them, if God is truly your father, then there would be a family resemblance there as well. But there is not. Listen to verse 42. "If God were your father, you would love me, for I have come here from God." Verse 47, "Whoever belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God." Verse 54, "My Father, whom you claim as your God, is the one who glorifies me." And verse 55, "Though you do not know him, I know him." What utterly damning words. It's hard to even imagine just how infuriating this would have been to the ears of these Jewish people. Because they staked everything on the fact that Abraham was their father, and that as a result they were convinced that God was their father too. But Jesus says no. He says your claim is false. Your actions reveal that it isn't true. But what did they do that was so terrible? What were the real problems here? Well, I'd like to think about that in four parts. The first problem was that they were denying their own sinfulness. Right back at the start, Jesus told them that the truth would set them free. But they immediately took offense. Verse 33, they said, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" Now, first of all, their statement's an utter nonsense. They'd been slaves in Egypt for a start, hadn't they? And more recently, they'd been slaves to Assyria and to Babylon and to Greece and to Syria and, in the current time, to Rome. But in their astonishing pride, they conveniently forgot all of that. And they said that they were not slaves to anyone. But that wasn't even what Jesus was talking about. Verse 34, Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin." Their captivity, their need for freedom was not from a foreign power, but it was from the evil that lived in their own hearts. And Jesus tells them that it is this slavery to evil and to sin that put them out of God's family. Verse 35, he says, "Now a slave to sin has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. As long as they were slaves to their own sinfulness, they were not God's daughters and sons. But Jesus also tells them that he's the only one who can release them from this terrible slavery. He is the only one who can bring them back to their Lord. The only one who can provide all of God's marvelous blessings. Verse 36, he says, "So if the Son sets you free, then you will be free indeed." These Jews were not children of God because they were denying their own sinfulness. But that leads straight to the second problem, because they also rejected Jesus' message of forgiveness and salvation. Again, at the start, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. But did they hold to his teaching? Well, verse 37, Jesus says, "You have no room for my word." Verse 43, "Why is my language not clear to you? Because you're unable to hear what I say." Verse 45, "Yet because I tell the truth, you do not believe me." And again, verse 46, "If I am telling the truth, why don't you believe me?" Jesus had been revealing the gospel among them, and he had been confirming that gospel by his miraculous signs. But yet they rejected it. They simply would not listen. They refused to believe. These Jews denied their own evil and rejected God's words of grace. But in doing so, they also despised Jesus himself. And that is our third problem. Listen to how they spoke to him. There's already a hint in verse 41, where they say to Jesus, "We are not illegitimate children." What they're implying there with this random statement, so it seems, is we're not illegitimate, but you are. They're saying, "We know your background, Jesus. Your mother wasn't married. You're an illegitimate child." But if you think that's bad, it only gets worse. Verse 48, the Jews answered him, "Aren't we right in saying that you are a Samaritan and demon-possessed?" They said, "You're accusing us of not being true Jews. Well, we don't think you're even a Jew at all. You must be a despised, half-caste Samaritan." And then they said something even more wicked. They said, "You must be possessed by the devil himself." And again, in verse 52, they repeated, at this they exclaimed, "Now we know that you are demon-possessed." And verse 53, they spat out at him, "Who do you think you are?" What an appalling way to speak to the Son of our God, the very one sent by the Lord to save and to redeem. But problem number four comes as their spiteful words go even further and translate into action. For not only did they deny their own sin and reject Jesus' message and despise Jesus himself, but they also sought to get rid of him. Verse 37, Jesus says, "I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are looking for a way to kill me because you have no room for my word." Verse 40, "As it is, you're looking for a way to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God." And as we've already seen, right at the very end, at this, they picked up stones to stone him. So deep was their hatred that they wanted him dead. That's how desperate they were to get away from his message and from his very presence in their lives. And so as Jesus digs below the surface of these proud, pious, and pretentious Jews, he reveals their true character. He reveals that they are not true believers, and they are not real disciples because they do not accept his teaching and they do not love and obey him as they should, and they do not want the freedom that he came to bring. As Jesus pokes and he prods, he reveals the horrendous rot that lies beneath. He reveals that Abraham is not their father at all. He reveals that they are not the children of God. Because my friends, and this is important, my friends, true Jewishness, and this applies as much today as it did back then, true Jewishness is not a bloodline, but it is a faith line. And that's something we should never forget. But then Jesus also reveals who their real father is. He hints at it already in verse 38. He says, I'm telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence, and you are doing what you've heard from your father. And again in verse 41, you are doing the works of your own father. And who is that? Jesus lays it all out in verse 44. He says, you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Jesus tells us that the person who denies their own sinfulness and rejects his message of salvation and despises him and wants him out of their life, well, they're no child of God. And they should never fool themselves into thinking that they are. They're a child of the devil himself. And that's proven because they hold a family resemblance to him in their lies and their deceit, in their denial of God's truth, and in their ultimate hate and rejection of the Saviour. But what about you, my friend? What about me? What are we truly depending on to get right with God? What makes us think that we are his children and heirs of his blessing now and for eternity? I'm not talking about what's on the outside for everyone to see. But when Jesus digs below the surface, what does he find? Maybe there are people here today who think that they're on God's team because of who they are or because of what they have done. I'm guessing you don't depend on being a child of Abraham unless you happen to be a literal Jew, but perhaps you're depending on something else. Is it your heritage? We've always been a good, upright Christian family. Is it your attendance? Look at me, I'm here every week. I've been coming my whole life. Is it your baptism? Your profession of faith? Your participation in the Lord's Supper? Your membership in the church? Is it your involvement in ministry and all of that hard work that you put in? Or is it your above average devotional life? Or how much money you give? Is it your strong knowledge of doctrine and theology, your superior understanding? Or is it your deep level of spirituality? You're so much better at that than others. Or is it your high moral standards? Oh, thank you, Lord, that I'm not like them. Is it that you think you're a step above everyone else by whatever measurement you like to use? Or is it just that you're a pretty good person, a decent bloke, a good sort, you keep your nose clean, you're not really harming anyone, so why wouldn't you be in the good books with God? You know, perhaps your pride or your self-assurance or your criticism of others is a sign that you are actually trusting in yourself for your salvation. Perhaps you think that somehow you've earned your place in the family of God. You do know, don't you, that plenty of people have gone to their graves thinking that that is exactly what they've done? Well, in this passage, Jesus sounds a very serious warning about any such notion. For we can never say that we're children of God if we don't genuinely bear the family resemblance. For the person who relies on themselves, they do not truly admit their own desperate state, their own utter slavery to sin. And as a result, they can never really comprehend or even yet accept Jesus' message of grace and salvation with a humble heart. And so over time, they'll begin to ignore or even despise Jesus himself. Well, that is the real Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible, as opposed to the Jesus of their own imagination and invention. And in the end, they want the real Jesus to just stay out of their life. But in these verses, we're told that such a person is no child of God. For whether they realize it or not, their real father is the devil. Because when it all boils down, they're simply chasing after his lies and carrying out his desires. Oh, and my friends, the devil just loves it when people make their own rules and reject the Lord's truth. But friends, it really doesn't have to be that way. For even though this passage contains such a grave warning, intertwined with it is the most glorious good news that we could ever hear. For don't forget what Jesus said at the start. He said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." What is that truth? It's the truth that Jesus came into this world to save wretched sinners just like us. He came to save us from the evil that is within, from this awful slavery that we are under. And he did that by willingly suffering and giving his own life in our place. For in the end, the people got their wish, and Jesus was crucified at Calvary. But in the most amazing way, it was on that cross, as he bore the sin of man and the wrath of God, that he purchased our salvation. And because he did, we have been released from all of our sin and all of our guilt and all of our shame. Verse 36, "So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Because he did, we have no fear of death and hell. Verse 51, "Very truly I tell you, whoever obeys my word will never see death." Because he did, we can know God as our own Father. Verse 35, "Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever." And do you know how we can have such confidence and such assurance? It's because Jesus is the glorious and powerful and merciful Son of the living God. Listen to verse 42. Jesus says, "For I have come here from God. I have not come on my own. God sent me." Verse 54, Jesus replied, "If I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. My Father, whom you claim as your God, is the one who glorifies me." Verse 56, "Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and he was glad." And last but not least, there's verse 58. "Very truly I tell you," Jesus answered, before Abraham was born, I am. We've seen it before, haven't we? And now we see it again. Jesus claims the very name of Yahweh, the great I am, the divine name of the Lord. And you know, that's actually why they picked up stones to stone him. Because in their eyes, he had committed the most grievous crime of all, the crime of blasphemy, by taking God's name to himself. But my friends, by faith, we know that it was no crime, because he is our God. And that is why he has the power and the authority to free us from our sin. Friend, I truly do hope that you have put your hope in Jesus Christ alone. I truly hope that you have confessed your own sinfulness and that you cling to his message of mercy and forgiveness. I truly hope that you are following Jesus as his disciple in faith and in love and in obedience to his word. Because when we do, then we can have that unspeakable joy of knowing God as our Father and the glorious hope of unending life with him. Then you will know the truth, Jesus says, and the truth will set you free. For if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Let's pray. Lord God, please help us to truly understand, maybe even for the very first time today, that there is absolutely nothing about who we are or about what we have done that could possibly justify us in your sight. We're so weak. We're so wicked. Father, please kill off our horrible arrogance and our self-righteousness and our feelings of superiority. For we know, Lord, that when we depend on ourselves, and we've seen it so many times, that in the end we will not want you in our lives. Lord, humble us so that we will truly and authentically confess our sin to you. Break us down, Lord. Bring us low until we bring it all to you. And then in your grace, Lord God, please give us the strength to trust only in Jesus. Precious Jesus, may we be people who really do hold to and abide in and remain in his teachings, that we will love him and follow him and serve him in our lives. Lord, we pray, please lift the burdens that we carry. Please release us from our bondage and our chains. Please reveal your truth to us today, and may your truth finally set us free. In the glorious name of Jesus we pray. Amen.